the last few weeks. We've been talking about running in such a way as to win the prize, running with perseverance. Talked about strict training and from 1 Corinthians 9, and don't run aimlessly and beat your body and make it a slave. And talked about how do we get there and what steps are you going to take in your life to get there? What practical steps? What's the game plan? We sometimes have goals and we know maybe where we're supposed to go and maybe even somewhat how to get there, but then just putting a game plan into action and through wisdom and through prayer, yes, and just how do I get there, Lord, and what are some things I can do? Because it looks like something. Training looks like something. Becoming everything that we're meant to be looks like something. It doesn't just happen. I use the example of getting in shape. It just doesn't happen by thinking about it or by reading a fitness magazine or even by buying a piece of sports equipment or something. You know, you actually have to use it. It works that way. You know, it doesn't just work to buy the equipment or to buy the right outfit. You have to actually walk it out. Had a unique thing where last week as we were worshiping, because last week I preached first and then we worshiped together in song after that, I was writing. That often happens with me, like when we're worshiping. Yeah, I've shared before, that's when I hear the Lord most clearly, when we worship together corporately, and it's when I hear his voice most clearly. And so I started writing, and afterwards, you know, talking to Larry and Craig, it was like, what are you doing? I'm writing next week's sermon. Oh, we'll see. It happened. Actually preaching it. Because sometimes it's have no idea when it's for or what it's for. And I want to just jump off of a little bit the tongue that was given and the word that the Lord is giving us through the tongue and the interpretation. Higher and humble yourself and cannonball and the Lord leading his army and the other words that were given, and praise him with everything you have and exalt him with everything. That's what we are called to. And we are called to that in our individual lives, and we're called to that corporately. Okay? And today I want to focus a little bit on the corporate part of it. But in order to be corporate, we have to be individual as well. The corporate, the body, is made up of many parts. And so 1 Corinthians 12 is one of the passages that I wrote down last week as we were worshiping. And it talks about how the body is made up of many parts, and yet, like it says in 1 Corinthians 12, and like it says in Ephesians, but there's only one body, but it's made up of many parts. And if we as a body are going to be everything that we are called to be, the individual parts have to be everything that they're meant to be. And we are all only a part of the body. We're not everything. You've heard me say that before, and I'll say it over and over and over again. I am not everything. You are not everything. And in the scheme of the whole entire body of Christ, the worldwide body of Christ, Emmanuel Grace isn't everything, but we're something. We're part of it. We're part of it. We're part of God's plan. We're part of the body of Christ. And so you have all these parts of the body, and specifically in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, it's talking about spiritual gifts. I want to take a little liberty and not just speak about spiritual gifts, but calling. like your calling. And that comes from even some of the passages that were mentioned last week by some of you. I forget who exactly pointed it out, but the Ephesians 2, and where there are specific, you know, yes, for by grace you've been saved, Mel pointed out. You have the verses that I mentioned, for grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, the gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. But then the verses right after that in Ephesians, I'm going to go there, in Ephesians, the verses right after that says, for, verse 10 then, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So when we're talking about the body today and the corporate part, I want us to understand the individual part. I want us to also understand, yes, it is about spiritual gifts, but it's also about the tasks that are set out for you, specifically for you. And then we as Emmanuel Grace, specifically for us in the wider plan of God. There's many different congregations. There's one body, and we have a role to play. We have gifts in this congregation that are highlighted that might not be highlighted in others, and they have gifts that aren't highlighted in us, you know, and then, but we're all called to walk it out. And then we have things that we're called to do. Others have things that they're called to do. We're not everything, but we're something. So back to 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 12, I'm not going to read through all the gifts because, again, I don't want to emphasize that per se today. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit. We're all baptized by the same Spirit into one body. And I don't want to add to the word, but this is the reality of the word, teaching of the word. We all have the same Spirit of God living in us. The Spirit of God that lives in me lives in you. So we're not just all baptized into the Spirit and by the Spirit. We get into the baptism of the Spirit, and I want to really encourage that. If you haven't been baptized by the Holy Spirit, pray for it. Seek God in it. But you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Everyone here who believes in Jesus has the Holy Spirit living in them. So, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. And you could add a bunch of things to that, young or old, Canadian, American, Mennonite, non-Mennonite. We're mentioning how Forrest has widened the pool in the Mennonite community. That's good. It's good to bring new blood in and all of that. There's others too. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. No matter what the foot says, no matter how much self-pity, just because the foot's like, oh, I'm not a part of the body because I'm just a foot, you're still a part of the body. You are an important part of the body. And if the ear should say, well, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. I want you to understand that God made you exactly like he wanted you to be. At your core, you are who God wanted you to be. I'm not talking about whether it's the generational curses that have been passed down to us and that we've passed down to our children. I'm not talking about those things. I'm not talking about the junk that we've piled on in our own lives, the lies that we have believed so long, the things, the conclusions that we've made about ourselves that are so far off. I'm not talking about all the junk that's been on added on after that. No, that's not who you're meant to be. But at your core, who God knit you together to be in your mother's womb, that's who you are, and he wanted you exactly like that. That's why I think a great question is, and a great prayer is, Lord, who have you created me to be, and how have you created me, and I praise you for creating me like that. I praise you for knitting me together in my mother's womb exactly like you want me to be. And that has to do with the giftings, the personality, the gift mix, the calling, the different things, the different tasks that you're called to do, all of it. It's all who God wanted you to be. So God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So we had the self-pitying in verse 14 and on. Now verse 21, you have the other ditch. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. I'm an eye after all. I don't need the hand. You know, I'm pretty great. So it's the pride now. Man, the eye is the best part of the body, the eye is saying. No, can't say that to the hand. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. There's no room for pride. There's no room for self-pity. There's no room for pride. There's no room for thinking you're not a part of the body. There's no room for thinking you're everything to the body. There's no room for thinking you're nothing. There's no room for thinking you're everything. We are all something. We are all called to be a part of this beautiful body. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. The parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So don't think that you don't have a special role to play. And don't think that the pastor is the be-all and end-all, because from what I understand, this role that I play, this calling that I have, actually needs no special attention. It's not one of those, it's one that is honored easily among men, and so God's like, I don't need to give that special honor. The special honor is given to the less presentable parts. And so, yeah, we got it all mixed up sometimes in the church. So the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. I want to talk about that verse. We sometimes take that verse to mean that if someone is hurting, we all hurt with them. Now, I believe that there is biblical precedent for that, and that's true. We should mourn with those who mourn, and we should rejoice with those who rejoice. So, yes, when one part is hurting, when one person is hurting, we hurt with them. And so if a family is going through something, you know, like Morgan brought that prayer request for Eliana. Eliana, right? Ooh, wow, remembered. That's incredible. See, miracles happen, okay? So it brings this request, but she, as a sister, isn't sitting there saying, well, it's not my family. Like, it's not my immediate family, so whatever. No, sisters, brothers, grandparents, they mourn with them. We, as a congregation, we don't sit there and saying, well, it's not my family. You know, no, we mourn with them, even though we don't necessarily feel it as deeply when we hear a prayer request like that and someone's hurting, we mourn, we suffer with it, absolutely. So there is precedent for that, and there's biblical precedent for that. Even when we hear about people suffering in other nations for you know, the persecuted church, they're suffering for the name of Christ, we should mourn with them. But that's not what I think this verse is saying. Okay? That's not what I think this verse is saying. In the context of what God is teaching here, in the context of what God is trying to bring to the body of Christ here, I think what he's saying is this. If one part is not functioning as it should, the rest of the body suffers with it. So one part is crippled, the whole body suffers for it. We know this. I was reminded of this week. So this week, I was doing something, and it wasn't silly. It was actually good, but I didn't realize I wasn't ready for it, and my body wasn't ready for it. But it was okay. I just was ahead of myself a little bit. I was doing a little bit of an exercise because I decided, hey, I got to exercise a little bit. but I pushed it too far, and my back went out. So a few little places in my back are injured. You all know this about me. You know, I injured them around 20 years ago, and there's a few parts there. Well, you know what? When one part suffers and isn't functioning, I'm okay right now. But, you know, this is how I was. We were joking at home. I was looking for something on the ground the whole day. It's like, there's got to be something. And it's to the right. It's always to the right. There's something. When one part suffers, the whole body. It was really interesting. I was noticing, because my back hasn't gone out like that for a while. After walking like this for just a little while, this muscle right here started killing because it was overcompensating and it started aching so bad. Feet started aching because as I'm walking like this, I'm realizing I'm not walking flat on my feet. It affected my feet. I was walking tilted, so on the edge of my foot, because I was walking like that. And so my foot started hurting. Well, then, you know, your knees start hurting, your shoulders start hurting, because you're everything. Everything suffers because one part suffers. Because one part was not functioning the way it's designed to function, the rest of the body paid the price. My hand couldn't say, I don't hurt, I'm fine. No, because when I needed to go lie down, guess who also had to go lie down? The hand. The hand might say, why are we lying down? This is silly. I'm fully functional. I'm healthy. I'm strong. And yet, because the back was not functioning the way it's supposed to, the hand had to also sit down or lie down. Okay? When one part is crippled, say you have a crippled hand, the rest of the body suffers for it. Now, the body can still function, and yet maybe not function as well as it could, right? There's this politically correct lie, and most politically correct things are lies, you know, but there's this politically correct lie of, no, they can do everything that someone who doesn't have a crippled hand can. Really? Can you set a volleyball? You know, I know that's a silly thing, but like, let's not say, like, praise God that people who have suffering like that can function really well, and we live in a society where we are a society that wants to help people who are hurting and wants to make life as good as possible. We want to make everything wheelchair accessible, which is awesome. I think we should, but don't tell a person who's confined to a wheelchair that, well, you can do everything everyone else can do. No, you can't. And I'm sorry for it. Like, I can do everything. No, you can't run. Well, no, I can do a marathon in the wheelchair. That's great. But that's not the way. I don't know anyone who has a physical handicap who, if given the choice, again, back to the prayer for healing, who, if God came and said, I'll heal you, they wouldn't say, yes, please. Yes, please. Whether it's eyes, like, I wish my eyes would function better. I wish my ears would function better. I wish my back would function better. And when one part suffers, the rest of the body suffers. It's just the reality. Okay, so then back to what God was ministering to us today. We are each individual parts, but we are part of the whole. Here is the fact. Okay. If we each aren't becoming everything that we're meant to be, Emmanuel Grace cannot be everything she's meant to be. If Emmanuel Grace is not everything she can be, she's meant to be, then the rest of the body of Christ cannot be everything that she's meant to be. Now, will Jesus come again still? Absolutely. There are things that, you know, will the gospel be proclaimed and all these things? Yes, but to what extent, you know, and all that? Will we still live a good life? Absolutely. But we've been talking the last few weeks, and again, this tongue given this morning to be all in and to run the race as to win the prize. And each of us as individuals needs to do that so that we as a whole then can do that. These last few weeks, we've had a number of people missing for various reasons. I just counted the 1 week. We had 14 people missing. Now, in a congregation of 40, that's quite a bit. I don't know what the percentage is. I could work it out. You know, and some of the reason is, you know, one of them is in South Africa. What's he doing? He should commute. No, just kidding. He's where God has meant him to be. You know, one's in BC, you know, and some people were sick that week. They were down and out with the sickness. And in Orlando, he's coming back tomorrow. Woohoo, we miss George. You know, and for a variety of reasons. And we're not always able to be here. What I want to say to that is this. If you're meant to be somewhere else, I bless that. Like, and we bless that. Because you need to be, and I need to be, where God wants us to be. And so, like if it's, you know, again, I think of Braden over in BC or Jesse over in South Africa. I think there was a lot of prayer put into those decisions, and they are where they're supposed to be. We miss them. I miss them, not just on a personal level, like nostalgia kind of, oh, I miss my son and that. No, we miss them here. We miss their contribution to the body. We miss their gifting. We miss the Spirit of God pouring through them and manifesting in them. You know, and we can look at practical things that we miss. I miss Braden playing the bass on Sunday morning. I miss that. I miss his, you know, on Thursday nights when we have worship practice or Tuesdays when we have Bible study and after we're done, we're in the kitchen and Braden would, you know, 6 or 7 times out of 10, he would all of a sudden be looking at me and, so Kevin, I've got this question for you. You know, and then we would launch into something. I miss that. I miss his inquiries because they would draw him closer. They would give me the opportunity to walk in my gifting and pour into him so that he could be everything that he's meant to be. But now God has decided he needs to be somewhere else for a time. We don't know how long that is. We think we know, but we don't know for sure. But like where he wants others to pour in, and he wants the gifts used there. And I bless that. And I bless that with my own children. Like if Jesse never comes back again, you know, and if God keeps him there for one reason or another, or if he comes back for a short time and then leaves again or whatever, if as long as it's God's will, I bless that. I don't want to ever think of anyone as you belong here. That's not the word. I don't want to think, you're mine. You're ours. You belong to Emmanuel Grace and no one else. You can't leave. No, never. You belong to Christ. But what I do want to say is this. If you're supposed to be here, you need to be here. And I don't just mean, I do mean in general, but then I also mean on the specific days. Because when we're not all here, and it's just because, we all suffer for it. Now, let me give an opposite example, and I think I've shared this before, but it was a few years ago that I shared this. There was one, we were meeting on Monday nights, we weren't meeting on Sundays, maybe we were meeting on Sundays already. Anyways, Josh came Monday night, and Josh and Candace, before they had kids, were coming Monday nights on a somewhat regular basis. You know, but that evening, maybe they already had kids, actually. Anyways, it doesn't matter. Candace stayed home. And not sure why, I forget. Doesn't matter. And Josh was there. Ha, how you doing, Josh? And, oh, that's great. Da-da-da. Chit-chat. But he had this look on his face. I'm like, what's up? He's like, I'm not sure I'm supposed to be here. Like, what do you mean? I think God maybe wants me at home, like wants me to be at home with Candace right now. And my words to him as any good pastor, well, what are you doing here then? I know a lot of pastors wouldn't do that. I don't know. I don't want to judge other pastors. But all of a sudden, it was one of those situations where it's not right that you're coming to church today. That's weird. They don't teach you that in Bible college, okay? They don't teach you to ever say that to anyone in Bible college. But it's this place of, no, then what are you doing here? Go home. Get out of church and go. And he went home. And if I remember correctly, that is the night that they wrote that song that we often sing. I forget what My Heart. That's the evening that God solidified that song that we sing so often as Emmanuel Grace. So it's not just about you got to be here. But what I would say is, if you're a part of Emmanuel Grace, which everyone here is, we don't have any visitors this morning, okay? Understand, we don't have membership, but if you've been coming here for 6 months, then you're a member. Like, we don't have membership, but that's the way I view, like, you've already made your decision, and you're here. Unless you're called to be somewhere else, and I totally believe that. Like, I totally understand that God does that. I need to be with so-and-so. I needed to go to this other church. I needed to whatever. And that's great. Like, I bless that. But unless you need to be here. Because if you're not, we suffer for it. Now, will we carry on? Absolutely. Will God bless? Absolutely. Will we be everything that we could be? No. We'll be everything. We'll give it all right then. Will be everything that we possibly could be with at that moment. But, no. Now, it's not just about church attendance, because I don't want you to think that, because that's just an example. We need you as a body to walk out your gifting. So again, and your calling and the things that you're called to do, the way the body functions, the way the body grows, the way the body thrives is when each part is doing exactly what they're called to do, everything they're called to do. When everyone is chasing after God, and it combines with what has been preached the last few weeks of, like, how do you get there? Let's make a strategy, or not just make a strategy, but let's seek God. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me understanding. Lord, give me revelation. How do we get there? What can I do? And when you feel that you're weak, like, oh, understand, I get that. I was writing down at the back, like, okay, so one of my callings, what am I called to be? What has God created me to be? I think, you know, there's pastor, teacher, and part of that is leadership. Do you know, sometimes I just don't want to lead. Like, it's not that I wake up, yay, I get to lead again. And you're, like, Emmanuel Grace is easy. Like, I'm just talking about I'm weak. You have no idea how weak your pastor is. You have no clue. Carlene has a clue. The rest of you don't. And sometimes it's just, Lord, I don't want to. And it's like he lovingly looks back at me and says, well, what does that have to do with the price of milk? Like, what does that have to do with anything? You don't want to. Are you called to? Yes. Okay. Okay. And then am I going to run this race? Lord, I'm tired of running. It's funny. I was thinking about it back there as we were worshiping. Like, I think, well, what some people go through, and this is where you start comparing, and like, it's not healthy per se, but it is healthy a little bit, depending on where it goes. But I think about what some people go through. Like, I think about what Randy and Darla have been through the last 5 years. I thought about Job as I was sitting there. And it's like, I have, like, my troubles are 1/10 of a 1/10 of a 1/10 of a 1/10 of a percent of what Job went through. And here I'm saying, oh, Lord, you know. But he knows my frame. He knows how he made me. But whether we walk it out or not, it's not about I feel like it or I this or I that. Are we going to run with perseverance? Are we going to run as to win the prize? No trouble. He's like, I don't want to run. I want to eat. Yeah, that's right. Ironically, it is. So our children. So those of you who have young children and children still in the home, do you know they're called to be a part of Emmanuel Grace? Now, they might not be in that place where they're contributing a lot right now, you know, and they're just receiving. But how you raise, I don't know what some of these young ones are called to be in this congregation or in the church 5 years from now, 10 years from now. And it's not that we just have to wait that long, because some of them are old enough, you know, but are you raising them to be runners? Are you raising them to run the race as to win the prize? Because if Emmanuel Grace is going to be everything she's called to be 10 years from now, Samuel has to be running that race well 10 years from now. Evelyn has to be running that race well. I just say because she's out the door. There she goes. Because we look at them and they're just, oh, they're so cute. Yes, they contribute cuteness to the group, which, hey, that's not a small thing. Okay, especially in our group. No, just hold it. That didn't come out right. No. But like, they bring joy, they bring laughter, all of it. But for us to be everything that we're called to be, they need to be walking towards everything they're called to be, which means parents are called to be everything they're called to be so that their kids can be everything they're called to be. Every decision we make affects each other. One part of the body, you can't say, you know what, that has nothing to do with me. So the hand is saying to the back, like, come on, back. Get your act in order. Like, come on. And the back is like, hey, you're not hurting, so just be quiet. This is my life. It has nothing to do with you. The hand responds back, it has everything to do with me, because we're one. We're one. And when you're not functioning properly back, I can't go do what I want to do or I'm called to do. I'm held back, right? There's so many analogies that go with this. Orchestras, sports teams, the armed forces, business, so many illustrations. I don't know if you follow the Toronto Raptors, they have had many injuries recently. This year has been plagued with injuries. And so some of their best players, their best player has been injured for about 3 or 4 weeks now. And they've suffered for it. Everyone else is giving everyone who's healthy is giving everything they can. But the team just isn't as good without Pascal there. It's Pascal Siakam is the name. And then you got Marc Gasol. He's injured still. Fred VanVleet is injured. Norman Powell is injured. Yes, I watch basketball. And the other people are doing the best that they can. And they've surprised a lot of people. And in this recent stretch of injury, they've gone 6-5, 6 wins, 5 losses, which is way better than anyone thought they could do. Yay! But if these people are still, if these starters are still out of the lineup, they'll still make the playoffs, but they'll be out in the first round. And people will say, but you did great. Yes, they did. But you know what? If they're all healthy and being who they're called to be on the team, they're a championship contender. Now, with the body, we can't always, like with the physical body, we can't always, it's not a matter of decision making necessarily. You know, someone rolls an ankle or sprains a knee or hurts their back. It's like, well, it's not that Pascal doesn't want to play. He does. He's itching to get back. He hates sitting on the bench watching, but it's just he's so limited right now. Okay, translate that to us. What if it was just that Pascal decided, I'm not going to practice anymore. I'm not going to put in the time. I'm not going to go to the gym. I'm not going to lift the weights. I'm not going to take care of my body. Each of us, are we going to run the races to win the prize? Because if the decisions that we make affect the whole body, back to Ephesians then. I love this. 2 verse 19. Consequently, I won't give you the context. It's just, he is our peace and we're made into a new creation. And the two, the Gentile and the Jew, are made one. So verse 19 then, consequently, you're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. That's talking to us as Gentiles. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. What I love about that is, yes, there is this reality of you are God's temple individually. We get that from 1 Corinthians. So take care of your temple. Treat your body as a temple. You are a temple. But here, it's talking you, plural. Our one temple. Do you know that? We are a temple of God. Let me read another passage from Ephesians then. I'll start in verse 14. The context, again, is unity in the body, and there's one body in verse 4, and each one of us in verse 7, grace has been given to us as Christ has apportioned it, and verse 8, this is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. That's us. Verse 11, he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So then verse 14 to 16, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. And I would also then add, and I think biblically we can say this, we won't be deceived by our own hearts, or our own deceitful hearts either, and our own flesh. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. For too long in the West, and like I mean centuries upon centuries, there has been this belief that it's all about church leadership. And it has to be, we were just talking about the, you brought this up. Talk about being on the same page and all that. So neat as you brought that up yesterday, Forrest. And leadership just has one role to play. Like it's one role among many's, or among many. It's one gift among many gifts. It's one calling among many callings. We all are called. Do you know that your calling is just as important as my calling? Just as strong as my calling? Do you understand that? Your calling is just as important as Randy's calling, as Darla's calling. Meaning that he has called you just like he's called them. We might not all have the same gifts. You might not have the same gifts as me, and that's fine. You might not call to be pastor teachers. You might not be called to leadership. You know what? That's okay. There's this lie, again, this lie out there. Raise your kids to be leaders. You know what? Not all your kids are leaders. Don't raise your kid to be a leader if they're not a leader. Raise them to be a good follower. Raise them to be a wise follower. Raise them to follow the right people and to be discerning in that. Don't raise a non-leader to be a leader. That's just silly. There's this old adage in the business world, people get promoted beyond to the place where they're inadequate. We'll keep promoting them. Why? Because he's doing his job so well here. Let's give him a different job. That doesn't make sense. Let's promote him until he's useless. That's just idiotic. God has a calling on your life. And it's essential. If we are going to be everything we're called to be, it is essential that you be everything you're called to be. And the enemy lies to us and says, no, it won't make that big of a difference. Yes, it will. Will we survive? Absolutely. Do the raptors continue to survive? Yep. They do. But they're not everything that they could be right now. If we're going to be everything that we're called to be, we need to all be all in. We need to all dive in with a cannonball. It's not just about the leadership. Yes, leadership needs to. We who have been given that calling of leadership, again, if the coach isn't all in, it's really hard for the players to be all in. But we're all called to be all in. So what has the Lord called you to? What do you know right now? I guarantee you don't know everything about your calling. I don't know everything about mine. But you know something. I was talking with someone recently where they reminded me of the truth, and I've preached it before, but they reminded me of again. You do what's put in front of you. You don't know everything about your story. You don't know everything about your calling, but you know something. You know what's right in front of you. Do that. Walk that out and walk it out well. Walk it out with everything you've got. For the glory of God. I am so thankful as I see the gifts in you, in us, rise up. I don't want to say in you. It's in us. We're in this together. It's not you people. I don't want to make that mistake. Someone else made that mistake in Canada and got misunderstood there. It's us. I love seeing the gifts rise up in us. I was given a prophetic word by a wonderful woman over there. I've been meditating on that, and God has been using that in my life, and I'm not sure the fullness of it yet. I keep praying through it. I've gone back to it like 5 or 6 times this week. And it's like, oh God, what are you saying to me? And how does this play out and all of it? But I love it. As the prophetic rises up, as the teaching rises up. Some of you have teaching giftings. I want to see that nurtured in you and honed and refined so that gifting can be used in us and in others someday. You know, some of you have gifts of mercy and gifts of compassion, and some of you, it's these gifts that are so far beyond anything I understand because I just don't understand them experientially, but they're so beautiful rising up, intercession, ministry to each other, wisdom, faith. There's a few people in this congregation who have the gift of faith. We're all called to have faith, by the way, right? But there's some who have the gift of faith. It's like, oh man, that's a powerful gift. It's so needed. Your pastor doesn't have it. Yes, I have faith. Don't get me wrong. I have faith, but I don't have the gift of faith. There's a spiritual gift of faith. It's just amazing. And if we're running this race together, it's not just a three-legged race, you know that old picnic game that we've all played, tie your legs together. It's a 40-legged race. We're all tied together. We're all running this race together for God's glory. We're being fitted together to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't you let the enemy tell you that you're not important. Don't you let the enemy tell you that it doesn't matter how you run the race, it won't make a difference. It does. Okay, lastly, because I know that with a sermon like this, you know, like, what did we do wrong? What did we do wrong that he's talking to us like this? It's not because you did something wrong. It's because you're doing something right. I really mean that. God really means that. It's because you're doing something right. It's because we're already started down this path. And now God is opening our eyes to it more. God's opening my eyes to it more for my personal walk. It's God saying, well done. You're doing so well. Now let me open your eyes up even more to the seriousness of this. Let me open your eyes up more to what this means. This isn't a chastisement or anything like that. It's a well done. We're moving up, like, woohoo! We're being called up. He trusts us with it, and he wants us to chase after him with everything we are, individually and corporately. Are there any questions or comments?
Just going back to the prophetic word and just reflecting on to what you're saying about being all in, and I can't get the image out of my head about the cannonball jumping in, right? And the thing about the greatness of a ship is measured by how much water it displaces.
Yeah.
And jumping in as a cannonball, you're displacing a lot of water. And I don't take what you're saying as a rebuke, but as an exhortation, you know, that we need to jump in. And I'm just thinking, you know, in the spiritual realm, we can displace so much. We're a small congregation here, but in the spiritual realm, we can displace a lot.
Amen. As soon as you're saying that, I'm getting this picture in my head. Okay, use your imaginations, because this will look funny. It does look funny in my head. So one person jumping in as a cannonball can displace a certain amount of water. But what I see, you remember a few weeks ago, we were praying for Luke, and then we gave everyone came in for a group hug. I don't know if you were there, everyone, but there was a big group hug. So I see this picture of us all cannonballing together, not all at the same time. That's not the picture where one, two, three, let's jump in. No, where we're wrapped and intertwined with each other, where we're one big cannonball. All these different bodies intertwine, and we can display so much water, but are we all going to be that cannonball, like, together? That's the picture I'm getting. It's like, oh my, then the big sploosh.
Growing up in the church, very often our prayer was that people would come to church, that people would, like,
yep,
neighbors, whatever, that Lord, bring people to church.
And as soon as you're through the door, our job is done.
Yeah. And so my encouragement, Lily and I, very often our Saturday night prayer is, Lord, those that are supposed to be at Emmanuel Grace tomorrow, stir their hearts so that they'll come to Emmanuel Grace, whoever that is. Whether, and it's fine, it's great to invite friends or neighbors,
yes,
or whatever. There is that. But we pray very specifically to the core of the body of Emmanuel Grace, who is supposed to be here, and it ties into this. So it's an intercessory prayer. You know, clean up our hearts, Lord, so that we come here, those who are the body of Emmanuel Grace would be here in that freedom and that openness, and then God can use the gifts that He's poured into each one of us. But so I think as an encouragement to us who are here, like, let's keep on praying that prayer to encourage the body who is supposed to be here. Lord, bring those people who are supposed to be here.
Yeah.
So it ties in with
That's
your...
good. Amen. Yeah. Anyone else?
I'm going to be the antagonist to that statement.
Excellent. As long as you're not the devil's advocate, because the devil doesn't need an advocate.
No, I'm not doing that.
That's good.
But on the other hand also, and I know you agree with this because you already said it,
mm-hmm,
that those who are not supposed to be here,
amen,
should not be here. And because my reaction, you know, just the reaction in my mind right away is like, oh, yeah, I really should try to come to Monday, Tuesday, Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
You know, get in there. And that's not, I know that's not what you're saying.
Yep.
But just, you know.
Right.
There's things that we need to do as the body outside of this body.
Amen.
That we can't always do if we're all here.
Yep.
Right? And that bring, and then we bring that back to the body when,
yep,
we are together and encourage each other and it goes and goes and goes.
Yep.
So, you know, just that little.
It's totally, and that's not antagonistic at all.
No.
Like that is... That is going right along with what God is saying.
Yeah.
And because amen to all of that, like 100%.
And then another little part, just thinking about your analogy with the basketball team. And tell me if you agree with this or whatever,
mm-hmm,
but that sometimes the owner, God, may sideline a player,
mm-hmm,
and that brings the other players up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so sometimes if somebody in the body is maybe sidelined for whatever reason,
mm-hmm,
that can also be part of what God is doing.
Totally.
Yeah.
Which has totally happened with the Raptors right now. The injuries have actually allowed other people to step up that they didn't know had this in them and that. But again, may it be God's decision and like God's outworking rather than our own not being everything we're called to be. Yeah.
Yeah, I think all of our hearts, what you're saying is all of our hearts need to be full in.
Yeah.
And then we follow,
yes,
the coach or the whatever.
Amen. Yeah. No, it's so true. I want to go back to even like what Mel was saying about, yeah, like the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, all this. Like, again, hear me. I bless you not to be a part of those things. If you know that you're not called to that, that's like, I bless it. I really do. I've even said to Larry and Lil sometimes, because Larry and Lil are there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. I sometimes see Larry like five times or more a week, you know, because I'm at all those things, and I know I'm called to be at all those things. But I've come to Larry and Lil a few times and said, like, you know, you don't have to come to every, like, yes, if it's at your house, but like, but even then, actually, you've sometimes just left the door open and we've come in. And but like I've said to them, especially Monday night, like, you don't have to come. And they always have answered back, oh, we know, but we feel like we're called to be there. It's like, then okay. Like, I'm not trying to chase you guys away, but I want you to be where God has meant you to be. A little story about that. I think I've shared this one before, but when I was at St. Anne's, another church in the area kind of had a kerfuffle, which happens, and some people from that church came to St. Anne's. And I was talking with one of the people who came, and again, they didn't teach this in Bible college, but like I started asking, why are you here? And he started talking about the kerfuffle that happened, and they just decided to leave. And the end of the conversation, from my point, was, I don't think you're supposed to be here. Or at least, you're not supposed to be here yet. You need to go take care of that before, you know. I don't think they listened to me. But it's like, I don't want you to be here if you're not called to be here. Because this isn't the body of Christ. This is a part of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is one, and it's worldwide. And so I don't want to rob from one part to feed another part, and just so that we can say we have more numbers. That's ridiculous. But if you're called to be here, be here. If you're called to be there Monday night, be there Monday night. If you're called there to be Tuesday night, be there Tuesday night. If you're called to be there Thursdays, be there Thursdays, and whatever. But if you're called to be elsewhere, I fully bless that. Even if you feel led that, you know, we'll pray. Don't ever be afraid of this. This has happened at Hope Church a few times where, I don't know why people would think this, but some people have felt led to go somewhere else. But I guess they were a little bit scared and they didn't tell leadership. They processed it on their own because I guess maybe they thought leadership would be like, no, God would never call you away from us. You know, oh, no, you belong to us. That's not how leadership in Freedom Ministries works. That's not how leadership here works. If you feel led to call, like, and called to go to another congregation, I want to pray through that with you. And if it's God, I bless it. I'll be sad. Don't get me wrong. I'll be sad to see anyone go. And the more time we spend together, the more I like all of you, and I hope you like me and all that. But you don't belong to me. You belong to God. And so I'd love to pray through that with you if I could, like if you would let me. And I'm not going to be biased. Like, do you understand that? Except you, Larry. You can't go. Yeah. I saw you heading for the door. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I fully agree with that, and Mel, thank you for that too. Yeah, and that's our prayer isn't for attendance sake.
No.
Our prayer is to fight against the enemy, because apathy is a big thing in the church.
Yeah.
And feelings are like, well, I don't feel like going today is a big thing.
Yeah.
And so we're not looking for an attendance sheet, oh, you were here one day a week or you missed two Sundays in a row or whatever. It's a fight against the enemy.
Yeah.
That is part of our intercessory prayer of, Lord, you're calling people to be a part of this. I pray that the enemy wouldn't dig in there and erode what God's calling is on people. So whether that's that they're supposed to be here or they're not supposed to be here, that's the unspoken word. Lord, if they're supposed to be here, then help them make their way here. If they're not supposed to be here for whatever reason, then
yep,
that would be clear to them, yep, as well.
Amen. And then again, back to the message today of, it's not just that we're here. I want us to be here and thriving. I want you to be thriving in your gifting, running with perseverance and with determination and with skill and gifting, where you're here ready, not just to receive from God, but to have God pour through you for the rest of us. So that we are here ready, not just attendance or anything. It's, and I know you all know this. Again, this is not a reprimand. This is like, I really feel like God is the higher thing from the tongue. There's certain sports, like, well, all sports have this kind of thing, like where I think of the English Premier League, and I think a lot of leagues, soccer leagues have this, but you have different divisions, and you can go up a league. Hockey has that. You go from the OHL to the, does OHL go directly to the NHL? I forget. But there's ones below that too, right, where you keep, I feel God's just saying, I'm just giving you stuff that's going to take you higher because you're ready to go higher. You're ready to league up, if you will. It's like, really, Lord? Yeah, but understand, every league up, if you will, it gets more serious. And it's the question has to be asked again whenever you league up. It's this, are you all in? Oh, yeah, we've been all in for a while. Well, you were all in for that league. I'm talking, like, no, are you all in? Well, I show up every day. Are you all, you know? And so I want us to be everything we're called to be. Anyone else? All right. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for your word to us. Your whole word, yes, but specifically your word to us today through the tongue, through the message, through conversations that happened before, through confirmation from other things. Train us, Lord. Teach us. Open our eyes. Explain things to us. Give us wisdom. Give us strategy. Give us courage. All for your glory. We want to run, and we want to run well. We want to run as to win the prize for your glory. And we belong to you. We are yours. And I love that, you know, you've brought us together and how you're fitting us together and just your work in us. And we say you do good work and continue that work, Lord. You've begun this good work in us. Carry it on to completion. And we know that that's your will and that's your heart. And we love you. Pray this in your name. Amen.
Just to end, feel free to start talking or dancing. I just want to play the song Never Go Back.
Holy King and loving Dad, happening. Oh, and I don't wanna go back. No time to hold back. Here in the final act. And all of me will show that I am so in love with you. And I can never go back. 'Cause you are awesome, you are true. Faithful to the end. You're so much more than I could need. Oh, and I don't want to go back. 'Cause you are strong and you are pure. You're holy King and loving Dad. And you have breathed new life in me. Yours in me. Oh, and I can never go back.